Sunday Meditation, May 5th, 2002. The question this week has to do with putting the puzzle pieces together, remembering our being, our knowledge, our ancestry, our connection with each other and with the planet. And we are hoping that Quo can give us some information on how this spiritual journey works for us, no matter how long we've been on the journey, how newly we feel revitalized. Could you share with us how we remember, if there are stages of remembering, if there's a process of remembering that we could accelerate or harmonize with in our daily round of activities, how we can keep that excitement that we all felt at the workshop last weekend alive in our daily round of activities.
We are those of the principle known to you as Guo. We greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we come to you today. We thank you for putting so many things aside in order to make the time to form this circle of seeking. It is a great blessing to us to be called to your group. And we thank you for the dedication that it takes to form such a circle as this. It is a special blessing to us because this is the service that we have entered your planet's energies in order to offer. And it enables us to serve, to speak through instruments such as this one. So we are most grateful to you for giving us this opportunity to share our thoughts. As always, we would ask of you that you use your discrimination in listening to our opinions, for we are not authorities and would not be a stumbling block before any. We would ask you to take those thoughts which seem helpful to you and leave the rest behind. This will enable us to speak freely within the limits of our own ethical feelings for the preservation of free will. We thank you for the question concerning how to continue to remember more and more of the truths that create within the heart the peace that passes understanding and the joy of realizing who you are and why you are here. It is certainly a challenging thing to retain the freshness of the vigorous enthusiasm that accompanies initiations and transformation. There is that feeling of being lifted to a place that is infinitely more desirable. Than the seeming content of consensual reality. The challenge always is to become able to express these feelings of bliss and joy. Throughout the moment of days and months and years, the expression of joy is a natural state. It has to do not with any portion of the physical body, but rather the movement of the energetic body into a position of balanced openness, so that the energies that are moving through are able to do so without what this instrument would call distortion. The set energy of the universe, that ohm of which you were speaking earlier, is a vibration that is utterly joyful and blissful, much as those physical feelings explode when there is the sexual orgasm. In the sense of higher consciousness, this state exists as the steady state. And when an entity reaches a certain balance within the energetic body and is able to open within that balance in utter trust, the result is that one comes into a state of consciousness which the one known as Rosie was so eloquently describing. We are aware that in the course of a lifetime, there are many times when the intersection of circumstance and personality grants a window of opportunity for the opening of the gateway to intelligent infinity. This is a direct experience of the Creator. It is never to be predicted as to how this shall occur, under what circumstances it shall occur. There is no one combination of efforts or effects or words or positions or rituals that can bring about this particular state of consciousness. It is almost as if one emerges into it from a fog that you did not see, a fog that you did not know you were in the midst of, until suddenly the mist cleared and the sun shone, and all was made perfectly simple. And quite perfect. This state is a true state. It is not the same thing as happiness, which, as it comes, guarantees its own departure. This is a state that can be, and has been by many, allowed to remain through tragedy and times of personal difficulty. This is a state that cannot be destroyed. This is the temple within that no power of life or death can destroy. Yet the experience that many have is of coming into this temple and going out, coming in and going out, being in that state and then abruptly finding oneself abandoned upon the shores of consensus reality. The techniques of hard work and dedication have a certain justice and a right place within the efforts to find and to retain that state of consciousness which sees all beings as one. There is a certain degree of simple persistence which equals very hard work for most entities in keeping a practice that is daily. This instrument has often spoken of a rule of life, for she has found it helpful in her own process of coming into her bliss. And certainly we would recommend the simple hard work and the perhaps rigid ethic of a daily practice that places before the eye in every day that lit candle at the altar within, where time is spent in silence and in opening the heart to the tabernacling with one infinite creator that always awaits within the tabernacle. This tabernacle is your own heart, and it is a blessing indeed that so many entities upon your planetary sphere have at this time that practice of daily seeking through silence. More and more entities among your peoples are awakening and are feeling that need to move within to a place of worship, of ideals, of adoration, of dreaming. That within your Western culture has become increasingly unavailable from the standpoint of those religious institutions that attempt to offer the feelings of a spiritual community. Perhaps it is well to say at this time that the freshness of love is that which spiritual communities are most excellent at maintaining within the members of that community. We do not wish to criticize or to judge your churches, and temples, and holy places, except to say that more and more those entities which are awakening have not found their home within the established buildings that hope to be spiritual communities by virtue of their name. What we find is that, as it has always been, the liveness and freshness of spirit, the correctest instrument, spiritual seeking, is a matter of people, not institutions. The hope of creating an institution that will carry on the practice and make it available to people is, in essence, an anthropomorphism where the spiritual entity seeks to recreate the family as a permanent thing, when in fact each family is always renewing itself as entities leave this plane and other entities are born into this plane within that family. Consequently, those who are moved to be pastors and ministers and priests may well have that open heart which creates a loving atmosphere and offers a place of safety for those who wish to seek it together. It is possible to find this within the church, within any religious practice, but it is a matter of moving from group to group until one has found not only the way of worship that appeals, but also the energy within the leader and within those within that particular group that is comfortable and supportive and encouraging to you personally. We find that in groups such as this one, which gather in homes and are unofficial and spontaneous, the likelihood of fresh energy is higher because there is no reason to come to a group such as this one in order to express a social or a political or an economic kind of feeling or beingness, but rather the only reason to come is that sense of a spiritual family that together may more efficiently and effectively seek than each by the self alone. And we would say that this is extremely true and is a great help to remembering who one is. For there is within the earth plane at this time a tremendous number of people who have incarnated as large groups of people to serve together. And much of the joys of spiritual community are involved in re-linking with those entities with whom you have spent lifetimes in the past, serving together, learning together. Each time that you reconnect and relink with these beloved strangers that are very much a part of your energetic being, there is laid another golden strand of connection within the net of love which surrounds the earth and is glowing brighter with every day. We are rejoicing at this point to see the outburst of new awakening people. There is a tremendous, shall we say, population explosion of those who are awakening at this time. It makes us feel most blessed to see entities taking hold of their being and knowing themselves and their power for the first time. As each of you moves into this awareness of the open heart and desires more and more to live there and to express that love within the life, each effort to do so makes it easier to do so once again. And each persistent effort to remain open to that which this instrument will call the Holy Spirit creates an atmosphere in which others find it easier as well. So that each of you becomes that light that is set upon the hill, that is not hidden anymore beneath a bushel basket, that is not tucked away, but that is glowing and burning for all to see, glowing not with the energy from the self, but with the energy that moves through the self, so that this is not a tiring or effortful thing, but rather the expression of the utmost ease. This instrument has for some time had the feeling that she dwells within a very critical and interesting time. And we also have that bias towards feeling that these are very precious and very powerful times within your planet's cycle. The new heaven and the new earth of fourth density has been nearly completed now. Your earth entity, which may be called Terra or Gaia, has come through most of her labor. She still labors, and each of you may be very strong in helping her through these labor pains. The practice of moving into the creation of nature, the kingdom of the Father, as this instrument is wont to call it, is very helpful in stabilizing and deepening the energies of the balanced and open heart. For each flower and tree, each breeze that blows, each element that exists, exists within a complete awareness of the one infinite creator. Rocks, fire, wind, grasses, and blooms do not have words, and they do not move in the way of being self-aware and choosing each movement, whether it is in or out of harmony. The creation of the Father has no knowledge of how to be disharmonious. All things, rather, are working towards the health of the entirety of the earth. This natural energy has been distorted and compromised by those feelings of aggression, greed, and other heated emotional states, which tend not towards peace, but towards the unwise use of power, whether by money, by influence, or by the various means which your civilizations have developed through the millennia of your history to collect the resources that seem to be fair and to attempt to create a safety that is forever specious, because the vehicles which you have chosen for this incarnation are in no case free from the limitations of birth and death. Consequently, there is a great energy within your earth spirit this time, which tends towards the breaking down of coherent energy and the invitation chaos, which is the result of the unwise use of power. Each of you has a tremendous ability to alter this picture, not because you can change it physically, but because belief is the truth of perception. What you choose to accept as true has a very powerful effect upon that story that you tell yourself. And the story that you tell yourself is that which creates within you a safe place from which to love, to accept, and to embrace those that seem like you and those that seem distinctly unlike you, those that seem positive and those that seem drawn to a darker shadow world. Every difference that can be distinguished is helpful to the self which must conduct a life within third density. However, that ability to distinguish and discriminate betwixt souls does not serve the spiritual light. Certainly, it is well to use the intellect, the powers of analysis that were given as a portion of those resources with which you meet the world. And yet, beyond the intellect and its limited ability to assess true situations or the truth of the self, there is that within you which does have a far more informed point of view. You may call it your higher self. You may call it guidance. In this instrument's case, she calls it the Holy Spirit. But however you personally find it useful and fruitful to characterize to yourself, that guidance that comes from deep within you and was yours before this incarnation and will be yours after this incarnation, this is that which you may depend upon. This is the foundation upon which the feet truly rest. As each of you becomes more spiritually mature, you will go through cycles of losing the balance and regaining it. This is a natural occurrence. There are very few entities who move through a life without going through these cycles or spiritual seasons of light and dark. Certainly this instrument has had experience with the dark night of the soul. And we believe that each within this group
and had significant suffering to bear. This is as it should be, for although it is a hard truth to understand, it is a simple truth that each of you chose a plan for incarnation. Some have said a contract. And in this contract, certain lessons were chosen to learn and to share in the learning of by those beloved entities with which you made agreements before this incarnation. As well, there were services that you hoped to offer. Each of you has one central service in common, and that is the ministry of essence. The task of each that is primary is simply to be yourself. It always seems as though one must do something in order to be of service. And yet, as we have said many times through this instrument, it is in how you are within yourself that you serve in the greatest capacity. Since each of you is as the crystal that transmutes and sends forth the light that is received from the Infinite Creator, each of you is a unique crystal then, which can allow the light to flow into the earth plane in just such and such a way. That is your unique gift. And when your heart is open and the love is flowing through you, and you feel transparent to that energy, then it is that the most beautiful light of all colors, depending upon the personalities involved, is able to move into that grid which this instrument is sometimes called the Christ grid, and which others have called the grid of unconditional love or the Buddha. This grid is that web of light, that pattern of love that is beginning to stabilize fourth density upon your planetary sphere. Each of you is doing tremendous work for those who shall come after you, sowing seeds of light and seeds of love, whose blossoms you shall not see, for you shall move on. Yet those who come after you will be able to do as they do because of reaping the harvest that you now sow with each loving thought and each contact made in love and in light. We may say that it is well to be aware is that there are many who are uncomfortable with unconditional love, as the one known as Tom has said. Do not be discouraged if it seems that your light is not accepted by those about you. That which is upon the surface is an illusion. The energetic work that you do is as it is, and it is not necessary for any to be aware that you are doing this work. It is not necessary for people about you to respond or seem to accept you as you would hope to be responded to or to be accepted. It is only necessary that you do your work, that you keep the body, the mind, the spirit in enough balance that energy may flow through and not be stuck in this or that place, or overstimulated so that there is a distortion because of that hectic energy of overstimulation. Realize that the spiritual path is one which extends throughout the incarnation, moment by moment, and unexciting chore after unexciting chore. There is no life, which is nothing but the glitter and the sheen of holiday times and mountaintop moments. Realize, too, that by connecting with those around you who are of a like mind, you are helping them and you are allowing them to offer their love offerings to you also. But be steadfast in those situations which do not seem to be so full of love. Allow yourself to be the love that is brought to that meeting, to that moment, to that situation. And if for some reason you are flagging, your emotions are tumbled, and you are weary, reach out and allow someone to give to you that which you have so often given to others. For there will be times of weariness for each soul within illusion. There will be times when circumstances come upon one which seem most difficult. And there are those stubborn traits which each of you carefully brought into this illusory incarnational experience for the express purpose of butting your head up against, of being confused by, of seeming to be flattened by, in order that you may stand in the refining fire of the spiritual distillery that are His, and work upon these traits that you have chosen to balance within this lifetime. It is easy to feel discouraged when the process takes you into your shadow side and you find yourself dealing with blockages or overactivations or some other kind of imbalance that seems to vitiate and attenuate your ability to be a crystal that is steady in its opening to the light and the love of the One Infinite Creator. Do not be discouraged when these times come upon you. Do not chide yourself because you are not in a state of bliss. Know that your memories of that time are perfect, that they are valid, that they are the truth of you. And know that in honoring that memory and in remembering those mountaintop times, you allow yourself to rise once again to that mountaintop where all is love and all people are one. We would speak a little bit more along this subject before we open to questions, simply in iterating the efficacy of meditation. The joy that lurks within the center of your being is invited by silence. It is a playful energy. It is full of light and full of dance. And each of you was intended to be a dancer through this illusion. Each of you, upon the brink of incarnation, gazed at that which was to come and thought, this will be so much fun, this will be so simple. How could I possibly forget any of the truths that I know simply by being born into this illusion? I will remember, I will remember. And yet, birth comes and the air of earth hits the face and there is the necessity to breathe in order to live. And all of a sudden, the environment has completely changed and you are a helpless infant, dependent upon others for absolutely every need. This creates a situation where the tiny child that is newborn has its first experience of vulnerability and a lack of emotional safety. Within your experiences as a child, there are almost guaranteed to be repeated times where this feeling of panic and distress becomes almost overwhelming as the environment seems not to be a safe one, not to be a secure one, emotionally and spiritually, and the understanding of others about you seems to be lacking. The pressures and distortions of the birth family, the parents, and so forth, almost always create these biases within one, which are carried upon the back like a burden, until they are once again named and greeted and faced and embraced and loved and forgiven and placed within the heart to be healed and to be forever then part of the strength of the entity that has come through many waters and is as fresh and young and strong as in the days of greatest youth. This is the permanent state of each entity, which has no age and has no falling away from strength. And it is from this perspective that it is most helpful to gaze upon the world of 10,000 things. It is far more accessible, this world, in meditation, in silence, in contemplation, in walks within the natural world, in all ways in which you can remove yourself from the various, shall we say, pernicious thought structures of your civilization. Your song that you began this meditation with was about living on the outskirts of civilization.
Was about living on the outskirts of civilization. And we recommend that you think of yourself in this way. Not physically. Physically, it is helpful for entities to be everywhere, especially in the urban areas that are so crying out for positive energy. But rather in terms of being in this world but not of this world. Thinking of oneself as an outsider is a way of preparing yourself to be a dweller upon the road to fourth density and not simply one who is stuck in third density. For the one known as Rosie is correct in saying that heaven is here, heaven is now. It is so each time one becomes aware of the self as a lit candle and encourages that light, that vulnerable, living light that depends upon the oxygen of the open heart. Breathe that love and light in. Breathe that love and light forth from your being. For truly it comes in, and it moves out. And the blessing that you give it creates infinite brightness within it. This instrument is instructing us that we have overstayed our time. And so we thank you for your question, and we transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, that more specific questions may be asked at this time. We thank this instrument, and we leave it in love and in light, and we are those of Makuo.
Greet each again, in love and in light, or through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to ask if there might be any shorter queries to which we may speak. Is there another query at this time?
Hello, Kuo. My question today is about a blockage in the red ray, and if you could give a suggestion on how to help clear this with grace and ease. Thank you very much.
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query for my sister. We would recommend in the meditative state, at the end of your day, or during a portion of your day where you have time to relax and reflect, that you look at the blockage as it has been experienced in your daily round of activities. Within the meditative state, then, look at the experience which represents to you the blockage of the red ray energy center. Relive that experience, allowing it to fill your being. And then in a natural fashion, allow that image to dissipate and allow its opposite to emerge into your consciousness so that you see it with the same intensity as you saw the blockage to begin with. Allow this image to continue for as long as feels comfortable. Then see both the blockage and its balance as means by which the Creator may know itself through you and accept yourself for having both as means for the Creator to know itself in your being. Repeat this exercise upon a daily basis for as long as is necessary for the blockage to be resolved. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question, Kuo. If I may ask, sometimes I wonder if my dog is in more pain than I'm aware of, or if you could comment to me on the right course with him for my heart, as you intuit, as you feel it. My intention is for the greatest growth for her experience, her spirit.
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, my sister. we examine this entity. And can suggest that the pain which this entity feels is ameliorated to a great extent by the love which you give this entity, and that any pain which this entity feels is worth the continued existence within the shower of your love. For this entity learns most by being loved and by being able to give love. In this manner, then, this entity is able to become, shall we say, inspirited, vested in a fashion which increases its consciousness and its ability to perceive the love and the light of the One Creator. Is there a further query, my sister?
I understand, thank you.
I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I was contemplating using a technique in counseling where I help a person focus by moving that person down into a fairly deep state of concentration, which is the essence of hypnotism. And I was wondering whether it is recommended as an ethical person to help a person in this manner. And also I was wondering if by my tuning I am able to assure a place of safety throughout the experience in helping a person to concentrate. I'm having trouble evaluating the use of this resource and wonder if you could comment.
I am Kuo, and we are aware of your query, my sister, and we are also aware of the potential for the infringement upon your free will as we attempt to comment upon a choice which you have not made of your own free will. We can suggest that the tool of that which you call hypnotism is indeed a powerful tool for some entities who are susceptible to entering the trance state in an easy fashion. Whether your tuning is able to provide a safe place is uncertain, for the susceptibility of each individual varies greatly. We suggest your continued meditation upon this topic and the consideration of other means of allowing a focus to be achieved. Is there a further query, Mrs.?
No, thank you. I will do just that.
I am Kuo, and we again thank you, Mrs. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, I have a bit of a follow-up to Carla's question. If indeed Carla engages in counseling someone, but it seems to me that this person, whoever Carla counsels, also comes to her with an intention of receiving counseling. I guess my question is this not the choice of each person, and basically should we not allow each person to decide whether to enter into something like this that may have an effect on them one way or another? I hope that I made the question halfway clear.
I am quote, "We are aware of your query, my brother. Indeed, each entity that enters into a counseling relationship is doing so of its own free will. However, many entities are unaware of their susceptibility to various techniques such as the use of hypnosis, and would not be able to give a free will choice from this inability to assess its own susceptibility. Thus, care must be taken." Is there another query, my brother?
No, I understand. Thank you.
I'm quiet. We thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, I have a question. I have some medical problems, and I think it's related to emotional blockages that I have. I've chosen to treat it with an alternative healing method. Is this a good method for me?
I am quote, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. Again, we wish to be of service by responding to the query which has been offered to us, yet we fear there may be some potential for our infringement upon your free will if we speak too clearly, or, shall we say, if we advocate one means over another, for the seeking of healing from whatever means of healing, whether it is orthodox, alternative, or any other kind of healing, is a choice which is fundamental to the spiritual path of each seeker. For any medical problem, as you call them, is a reflection of catalyst for growth, which has been offered the seeker, and which the seeker has in some degree appreciated, but in another degree been unable to penetrate. So that the lack of understanding of the catalyst then transfers itself to the physical or the spiritual realms in order that the attention might be gained upon another level of experience, where it has been, shall we say, unappreciated upon the mental level, where all catalyst begins its journey and transmutation with the seeker. We may suggest that the course of action which you have chosen, being that which was chosen of your free will, is helpful in that regard, for you, in your conscious and subconscious abilities, have assessed your situation in such and such a fashion, which then has resulted in your choice of alternative means of healing. We suggest that you continue in choosing that which feels most appropriate to you. There are many means of seeking healing. That which speaks to your inner voice, to your heart, then, is that which will in most cases be the most efficacious in bringing about a resolution of the medical situation, shall we say. we apologize for seeming to be unable to speak to this query more directly, but we hope that you will appreciate our desire to maintain your free will. Is there another query, my sister?
Can you give me any advice that spiritual development?
I am cool. And again, we find ourselves up against the full stop of the infringement upon free will. For to give advice in such a general fashion would be to seem to judge, and we do not wish to be a judge of any entity or the path that any entity follows. We affirm each entity's choices and can suggest that, again, the path which you follow in your spiritual seeking must needs be that which speaks to your heart rather than that which another suggests, whether that other be revered and honored, and seeming to be possessed of greater knowledge, or to be an ordinary entity upon your street. For there are as many paths to the one Creator as there are entities who seek that one within all and within the self. Follow then that which is in your heart, follow that which speaks to your heart, and be always willing to increase the intensity of your seeking, the intensity of your desire, and the meditation that we always recommend for every path, for every seeker. For meditation is the surest means that we know for any seeker within third density to approach the infinite Creator. Is there another query, my sister? I am quote. Is there a final query at this time?
Okay, I'll go. A question that came to me as I was looking in the mirror, and I do this sometimes, I just look into my eyes in the mirror, and I'm always struck by a quality within me which is more than me, and really I can see the citizen of eternity that's living within me. Is there something about the eyes that has this capacity to reveal the soul? Is there some way to encourage that use of the eyes?
I am quite aware of your query, my sister. The optical apparatus which you have described as the eye is the primary means by which stimuli are appreciated by entities within your illusion. For most do not see with their hearts the great panorama of experience that is available to each within every moment of the incarnation. Yet this way of seeing is possible for those who have opened their inner eye. Thus, the ability to see is that which has been relegated to the physical optical apparatus. And the inner ability to see then must needs be translated, shall we say, so that when an entity begins to see with more than just the outer eye, then there is the ability to apprehend more qualities of the self and of the life experience than are normally to be had with the physical eye. Thus, when one who seeks in a conscious fashion upon the spiritual journey takes the opportunity to look within a mirror, as have you, the perception begins to expand beyond the image first seen. Mm-hmm. There is the possibility of viewing other qualities, other resonances, shall we say, within the current incarnation, so that the experience of seeing in this fashion and with this feeling tone becomes enlarged, and there is perceived more than the image in the mirror. Mm-hmm. This ability to enlarge the range and depth of vision then can be extrapolated, shall we say, so that previous incarnational characteristics may begin to flash before the outer and inner eye. Thus, one may begin to see other aspects of the self, not just from this incarnation, but from those previous, shall we say, which have significance to the current incarnation. Thus, the experience of looking within the mirror and concentrating upon the eyes may indeed begin to show more of the soul aspect of the entity. And this may also begin to trigger memories that are from other incarnational experiences, but which play a role, shall we say, in the current incarnation. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you, God.
Again, we thank you, my sister. And as we are aware that we have spoken overly long this particular circle of seeking, we would close this session by thanking each once again for making those sacrifices which were necessary in order for each to join in this circle of seeking this day. We are always most honored to be invited to join you in your meditations. We cannot thank you enough for the heartfelt queries which each has offered to enhance the understanding of the spiritual journey. We assure each that you do not walk any portion of this spiritual journey alone, for each has those teachers and guides that are unseen to the physical eye, but which surely walk with you each step of your way. There are no mistakes upon your journey, my friends. There are many coincidences, and to the seeker which keeps a open eye, shall we say, there is much that each journey's experience can offer. And we thank you for your diligence, for your intensity of desire, and for the love in each heart that springs forth at these times and at many other times during your daily round of activities. We are known to you as those of Quo. At this time we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group. We leave each in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.
Adonai. Ethel, Othelia, Alan, Scott, G.
Poopy, Dana, Sonia, Steve, Marilyn, Barb, Betty, Donna, Lenny, Glenn, Kim, Janet, Kathy's mom, Sally, Frank, Steve's niece, Cindy's dad, Marilyn, Marilyn's dad, Abby, Natalie, Akisha, Bill, Denise, Bill, Allison, Archie, Nancy, Janet, Donna. Other requests?
Yes. Nancy and myself, my son Michael and his wife, and two babies on the way. Kim, Ollie, Daniel, Don, and Brittany. Jim and Carla. Dick and Wilda. Bart, David, John, Betty, Lindora, Juanel, Louis Holskinet, and the folks that he has allegedly harmed. Louis, Veronica, Michael.
Jackie, Julie, Rebecca, Richard, Marilyn, Jeff, Sharon, Cliff, Robin, Lindsay, Lauren, Nikki, Tara, Gypsy, Cole, Deborah, Lisa, Ryan.